grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. With the number of ordained faculty and staff around the seminary, it would seem rather improbable and ironic for the same preacher to be matched up with the same narrative within the same year. Well, I'm here today to state that the improbable has ironically occurred. Not only did I preach on Balaam last Epiphany and how God used this false prophet to state a beautiful oracle regarding a star coming out of Israel, that being Christ, but now in this week of St. Michael and All Angels, I am preaching again about this same bumbling, stubborn man, Balaam. Only in this text, it's not Balaam who speaks so wisely, but it is his donkey. She speaks to Balaam, and she speaks and literally spares his life. After thinking about this assignment to preach about Balaam again, I must say this is either very coincidental, or perhaps Dr. Wenthe or our Dean of Chapel, Dr. Just, are really trying to tell me something. If God used these words of prophecy, God used Balaam to speak beautiful words of prophecy and is asked to speak warning words of danger, well, then you get the picture. However, aside from this humorous and ironic thought, today's text is very appropriate this week. For St. Michael and All Angels gives us a wonderful opportunity to reflect upon the doctrine of angels and their work to serve us. In the 5th century, a small basilica 6 miles from Rome was dedicated on September 29th in honor of Michael, the archangel. And Michael is referred to because he is representative of all angels for us. And without going into great detail here about the angels and all their ranks and powers, there are a number of orders for angels, including seraphim, cherubim, and thrones. The first order are the seraphim. They are engaged in service in God's immediate presence, just as seraph surrounded in Isaiah, in Isaiah 6, in which we have the basis for the Sanctus. The second order are the cherubim, who are involved in the constant struggle with evil. In fact, it is noteworthy that a cherub was the one who guarded paradise after the fall with a flaming sword, keeping Adam and Eve out of it. And the third order are the thrones, and they are involved in the care of creation. What makes today's text so unique in light of angels is that the angel mentioned here is not just one angel from one of these orders, nor is it Michael the archangel. Instead, he is the angel par excellence, the angel of the Lord. This is Christ, the second person of the Trinity. And the angel of the Lord is mentioned some 60 times in the Old Testament. And 10 of those times in which he is mentioned in this text. However, the type of work we see our Lord perform is cherubim-type work. The angel of the Lord is involved in the struggle with evil, defending his people from the wicked plot of others. Another similar type of narrative is given to us a little later in the Old Testament when the angel of the Lord, again with sword in hand, greets Joshua and promises to defeat Jericho by destroying its walls. In the context of today's text, King Balak and the Moabites were devising an evil plan. The intention was that Balaam would go and curse Israel, the people of God. Balaam was to be Moab's answer to Israel's prophet, Moses. And because of Balaam's background in religious divination services, Balak thought that Balaam could manipulate God, the God of Israel, by making animal sacrifices in order to curse Israel. But what made this offer so tempting and irresistible to Balaam was that Balak arranged to give Balaam a very, very large sum of money to do this. In fact, after refusing to go once, because God had warned him not to curse Israel, Balaam was requested a second time. And Balaam was so consumed with greed and spiritually blinded that when he finally proceeded to see Balak, his donkey tried to make three detours. First, she turned off the road. Then, while passing through a pair of vineyard walls, she literally crushed Balaam's foot against one of those walls. And then finally, the donkey was trapped in a narrow path and could not sidestep the angel of the Lord. Yet it was not until Balaam refused to follow his donkey three times and also beat the donkey that the Lord literally opposed Balaam. In fact, the Hebrew states very strongly here that the angel of the Lord was as Satan to Balaam. And after the Lord opened the donkey's mouth to tell Balaam how badly he treated her, then the angel of the Lord himself, with sword in hand, opened Balaam's eyes to see what the donkey saw. In summary, Balaam, with his evil intent of cursing the people of God, was hindered, was prevented by the angel of the Lord. This narrative of God's protection is truly marvelous. Even while Moses and the people of Israel may have been completely unaware of any danger from Balak and Balaam, Christ, our greatest angel, is here where we are not, foiling and breaking both the counsel of the enemy and our wicked foe, the devil. The devil has been vanquished completely by our Lord through his death on the cross and through his resurrection from the empty tomb. But the devil still roars today, but in a limited cage-like way. If we are near that cage, we may be devoured. However, the Lord and all his angels constantly stand guard, even now, to keep us, his people, from spiritual danger and destruction. Yet what, there is something else that also must be said. God not only defends his people outwardly from wicked assaults, but he also defends us inwardly from ourselves. This is the next most noticeable fact in today's text. The angel of the Lord was literally calling Balaam to turn from his path in order to defend Balaam from his own danger, physically and spiritually. Similarly, the Lord tried to call Cain from killing his brother Abel before he did it. Again, we know our Lord had stated a number of times, warning Judas Iscariot of his betrayal. He did this in love to try to call him back before he carried it out. God's love is so strong, patient, and enduring that he even tries to defend us from ourselves. And this is a blessing for all of us, especially for those of us who intend to speak on God's behalf as pastors. The power behind what we say or what we do is our motive. If our motive is self-interest, praise, promotion, or advantage of any sort, as it was for Balaam, our influence in the Lord's kingdom may actually be undercut by the Lord himself. And what a call this is for us to examine ourselves, to examine our motives for ministry. No matter how true, persuasive, and relevant our words or how helpful our service superficially seems to be, if it is done without the motivation of love in God's sight, then we may only be causing commotion. God here tried to protect Balaam from his own worst enemy, Balaam. His call was one of repentance, and even though his confession of sin was short-lived and hypocritical, God tried to call him in love away from danger. Later, we really know the fruit Balaam bore, because although he was unable to curse Israel, he later deceptively led Israel into idolatry through sexual immorality as they worshipped Baal Peor. But this also led to Balaam's own death, his punishment. Yet God made every effort to try to defend Balaam from himself. The angel of the Lord knows us and attends to us. He is always there to protect not only the people of God from outward danger, but also to protect individuals from inward danger as they seek to serve God's people. And not only does Christ attend to us, but he also sends many angels to fight battles with evil for us, many of which we are unaware. May you, by his grace, cling to this comfort and be assured that you are in his care now and always. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.